Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I don't go out there and laugh.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX. Come on!
Welcome into another edition of Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX. I'm Dan McLaughlin from Fox Sports Midwest. My guest this week is Cardinals outfielder Tommy Pham. Remember, Inside Cardinals Nation is sponsored by White Castle. Hey, Cardinals Nation, meet Craver Nation at your nearest White Castle. What a road it's been for Tommy Pham to the big leagues. Drafted in the 16th round of the 2006 draft, Tommy Pham didn't make it to the big leagues until September of the 2014 season. Injuries, eye condition, a chance, all held Pham back in his quest to be one of the elite in the game. That isn't the case anymore. Tommy Pham has turned into one of the premier outfielders in the game today.
Now the pitch, a swing and a line drive into center field. That's a base hit. Tommy Pham comes up throwing. Pena's trying to score. Here's the tag by Molina. He's out. Pham throws Pena out. As Eddie Cedar was waving Pena around, Tommy Pham had the ball in his glove when Pena rounded third.
I hope you enjoy my conversation with Cardinals outfielder Tommy Pham.
I want to start with just a simple question. How much do you love the game of baseball?
I do enjoy it because, you know, I'm constantly watching the game, you know, after the game, go on, put on MLB Network, you know, and I just watch the highlights. I mean, I genuinely enjoy baseball, but when I'm playing it, to me, it's like a job. You know, I look at it like a job. So,
well, it is a job.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to lose. I don't want to treat it like a game because I feel like if you treat it like a game, you lose focus on what you have to do out on the field. So I treat it like a job.
When you were a young kid, was baseball always in your blood, or were the other sports the ones that really kind of, you know, came to the forefront for Tommy Pham?
No, there were definitely other sports. I played basketball. Basketball was actually my first sport. Then baseball, then football. But I would say my fascination with baseball, it grew a little bit more around the age of 12. And, you know, by the time I hit high school, I was focused on baseball.
How come it grew? What happened at the age of 12 where you said, you know what, this is probably the right sport for me?
I think it was, you know, the camaraderie with my teammates. I played on a travel ball team, and we were really close. I would say a lot of the camaraderie I had a lot to do with baseball growing on me, just because, you know, my situation is a little different, but you know, I didn't have a father to go out there and
sure.
play catch with me. So, you know, my friends, you know, we were there, you know, having fun with one another. Compared to when I played basketball, I always played up. So, you know,
good athlete, always moving up.
Yeah. These guys were like 2 years older than me. So, you know, I was the baby of the team. And then football was fun to me. We were a good team. We were actually undefeated. And I have a lot of teammates from that team who, you know, advanced to that next level. But it was treated like military, sort of.
Really?
You know? Yeah,
tough.
It wasn't fun. You know, it was fun winning, but it wasn't fun playing like baseball was.
I can't imagine you as a football player. You're in great shape. You're probably running a 4.6 40, something around there. What position did you play?
I actually played quarterback for our team.
Pretty good arm?
Yes. Back in my prime, I had a good arm.
Yeah. 2020 last year.
The delivery, swinging a high fly ball into right field. Back goes the right fielder. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. A two-run home run for Pham. That's his 20th home run. He now has 20 home runs and 21 stolen bases. It's been a while since we've seen that in a Cardinal uniform, and he touches them all, and the Redbirds now lead it 4-1.
Number one, what did it mean to you with everything you've been through? And number two, now you're on the national spotlight in many ways because people see you night in and night out making great plays and highlights and home runs and steals and those kind of things. So how did it kind of, I guess three questions, how did it kind of change your life too going 2020?
It meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Because I always envisioned myself as a 2020 guy. And so going out there and doing it, it only said everything that I believed, you know. And a lot of people, you know, they didn't see myself going out there and doing what I did. So, you know, it's good to go out there and do what you believe in and prove doubters wrong. So, I mean, I was extremely happy for myself for all the hard work I put in to get there and achieve that accomplishment. But now at the same time, you know, the expectations just for myself and, you know, for the team. So, that's why I'm always out there working and preparing myself for the daily task.
When you go back to your childhood, who were the influences that got you to be a pro athlete? You know, as you look back, your friends, coaches, mentors, who were those people?
You know, my biggest influence, I would say it probably was, you know, athletes. You know, I grew up idolizing athletes.
Who did you like?
I liked Deion Sanders. You know, he was a two-sport athlete. Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter. There's a long list in baseball.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys, you know, I was a sports fanatic. You know, I played baseball, football, basketball as a kid. And, you know, I would watch them play. Then I'll go out on the streets and, you know, try to practice to be like them, you know, because I didn't have, like, the male figure or someone, you know, backing me. So I used them as my inspiration, and it got me to where I am today.
I always tell people, because we get asked all the time, you know, what's this guy like? What's that guy like? And I always say about Tommy Pham, I said, you can watch him and appreciate he plays really hard, which is something that always stands out to me. I said, but the thing that I like, I said, he's really well-mannered. I mean that as a compliment. You always say, thank you, Dan. How you doing, Dan? You look me in the eye. So I'm curious, where did that come from, being so well-mannered and having that in your background?
Oh, no, just...
You agree with my assessment?
I mean, thank you. I was taught, you know, to look a person in the eye when you're talking to them. You know, just little things like that. And, you know, it carried with me today.
Well, that's important.
Yes.
Your background, people don't know, you're Vietnamese as well, correct?
Well, it's a small percentage.
Small percentage.
Yeah, because, you know, my mom is actually lighter than me.
But is that right?
She's full black. You know, I joke around with my grandma. You know, my grandpa passed away when I was a kid. But I joke around with my grandma. I'm like, you know, you have four daughters. And I said, my mom's a twin as well.
Okay, so it runs in the family.
Yeah, it runs in the family. My mom and her twin are light like me. There's like a group of us who are light. You know, I have a cousin, my mom, my aunt, and, you know, my nephew's kind of light too. So us five are the light ones in the family. Everyone else is brown skin. So I joke around with my grandma. I'm like, how did, you know, my grandpa's dark skin, or he was dark skin. So I'm like, how did you make two white babies? I said, you know, are they your kids? You know, she jokes, you know, she laughs because, you know, her other two daughters are brown skin. And
right.
I'm like, this doesn't make sense, you know, so.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, but I have a, you know, my biological father, he is black and Vietnamese, so.
So that's where that comes from.
That's where that comes from.
That's Cardinals outfielder Tommy Pham. You're listening to Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on your home of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Welcome back to Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX. I'm Dan McLaughlin of Fox Sports Midwest. Remember, Inside Cardinals Nation is sponsored by White Castle. Hey, Cardinals Nation, meet Craver Nation at your nearest White Castle. We continue our conversation with Tommy Pham.
16th round pick in 2006. You don't make it to the big leagues until 2014. You get called up in September. You had gone through so much in that time frame just to get to the big leagues. Was there any point in time you thought, man, it's just not going to happen? I believe I should be there, but maybe others don't believe it, so I got to look for something else to do. Did that ever come across your mind?
My grandma's mind, one of my grandmas, it came across her mind, but not me, because when you're playing in the minor leagues, you know, you see teammates or guys on other teams getting called up to the big leagues. And it's not hard to self-evaluate yourself in this game. You know, I would look at them and I look at myself and I'm like, they don't have my ability. So I didn't want to regret quitting at the time, and looking back, like, I could have made it. You know, I didn't want to live with that. So that's why I always kept pushing. You know, it was just a matter of really the consecutive injuries. You know, I from 2011 to 2013, if you look at the amount of games played, you know, I probably didn't even play 1 year.
Right.
You know, I 2011, I was hurt in middle of May, robbing a home run.
It was your wrist, right?
Yeah, tore a ligament in my wrist. There was a concrete fence. They don't have the fence there anymore, you know, because of me.
Yeah.
But there was like a fence behind the home run fence. And when I went over the home run wall, my momentum punched that wall, and it tore a ligament in my wrist. And, you know, the next year I felt the tear when it happened in spring training. And, you know, I was misdiagnosed. The doctor said I had a stinger, you know.
Sure.
And I couldn't even throw. I went to AA, played for like a week, and it completely tore.
Wow.
When I dove again. So, you know, now something that probably was a minor tear ended up being a major tear just because of me being misdiagnosed. And you know, my arm, man, I used to have a gifted arm back then.
And you were an infielder too for a long time with that arm at short, correct?
Yeah, I had a cannon back then before that surgery. Then the following year I was playing, you know, apprehensive all year as far as diving. And, so I started training myself to dive back with my left arm. And I ended up landing on my left arm wrong, and I slightly tore my left labrum, and I missed. I played on with that tear for a month before, you know, the
just
team and myself and decided to shut myself down. Because if I would have continued to play, then I probably would have missed some time the following year. So, you know, I had to have the surgery done to be ready for the following season.
We talk so much about your eyesight. First of all, how do you say the condition properly? What's the proper pronunciation?
Keratoconus.
Okay. When did you realize you had that, and what is it?
I realized in 2008, after the season, you know, Jeff Lunau, you know, he flew me out to St. Louis. I saw Dr. Pepos, an eye specialist. And you know, that's when they found out my condition. But I was prescribed contacts for the condition, and really the contacts has helped me pretty much throughout my journey with keratoconus. In 2011, I wouldn't even call it a surgery, it's a procedure. It's a procedure. I had a procedure done in 2011 after the season to stabilize my keratoconus from getting any worse. That was from one of my doctors I have on my team, Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler in Beverly Hills, California. And I mean, when you look at my charts from that day and, you know, my charts now, you know, my keratoconus has been the same. So at the time, the procedure, it wasn't even FDA approved.
Right.
You know, so I took a gamble, you know, because he explained to me, like, you know, this condition of yours can get worse if you don't have this procedure. It could get worse to where you can't see to be able to play this game like you're playing right now. So, I took the gamble, and, I mean, lo and behold, thank goodness, because I'm still playing this game.
And you said you have a team.
Yeah,
so
I have a team.
Kind of describe that.
Yeah, I have a team of eye doctors, you know, from ophthalmologists, optometrists, and I have my own contacts maker, you know, so we all work together. You know, it's not even associated with the Cardinals. That's why, you know, when no team could ever say, you know, I need your eye records, because I have my own doctors.
It's all yours.
Yeah, this is all me.
And with that, a contact is probably what? A set of contacts, what, $12,000, something like that?
No.
Not that bad.
No, there was, see, I've always been on top of my vision.
Okay.
My vision hasn't ever been a
problem. That's your livelihood.
Yeah, that's why, like, when I hear people, you know, tweet me, or some people will say, oh, you know, he could see now, or his eye condition under the wraps. I could always see. 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, all those years I saw well to play. You know, my vision, you know, it's, I play with 2015 corrected vision. I've always have. In 2016, that was the 1 year to where my eye doctors said, for keratoconus, there's a new lens out for keratoconic patients. And they said it's going to help you see better. So that year I experimented with a different lens.
So that's where people get it all messed up. Okay.
Yeah, that's where the messed up comes. So I experimented with this lens, and it affected me tremendously.
In a negative way.
In a negative way.
Yeah. So with it, though, I can't imagine there's other ball players or those that have, where a sport is, sight is imperative, that's your case. I mean, are you the only one that's dealt with this condition that's been able to perform with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's why I was the guinea pig of all this. And, you know, there's no other person that plays baseball professionally with this condition. So, you know, I'm using my experiences to help, you know, kids in high school, you know, because, you know, they want to ask what kind of contacts you wear, because there's different kinds, you know, from a soft to a hard, or I use a gas permeable lens to a hybrid lens or sclera. There's many different kinds of contact lenses that people wear. And there's people with my condition, you know, they want to know what's best as far as visual performance.
Describe it then in layman's terms. So you have that, say it again because I'll mess it up.
Keratoconus.
Thank you. You have that. What does that mean that you see that maybe the average human being is not seeing?
No, it's keratoconus is, the easiest way I can explain this is, your corneas are circular. A keratoconic patient is football shaped.
Gotcha.
So that's where it could be hard.
So it limits your vision.
I wouldn't say, I mean, it, your vision, it, I would say more so your astigmatism, you know, will be affected because of the thin cornea. You know, but my keratoconus is probably on my right side. It's not so bad. On my left side is the problem. My left eye.
Do you find at times it's hard? Like day games, that kind of thing can be a little bit more difficult than a night game, that kind of thing?
No, that was one of the stupidest things I heard last year, too. You know, people commenting about day games for me compared to night games. And I think, you know, with day games, last year my performance, that was just affected because it's so hard to play a 7 o'clock game. You know, and you finish at 10:30.
Turnaround.
And the turnaround so quick, you know, your body's not, you're not used to that quick turnaround. That's like a less than 12-hour turnaround. So, I mean, I don't, the problem I had was, you know, at our stadium, Bush in particular, you know, with the backdrop being so high that there's a shadow in the day game. So I can't wear glasses for the sun because the shadow is already dark. And if I put glasses on, I'm seeing dark and dark versus dark and bright.
Right. You know,
like the sun, the ball has to be hit a certain height for it to get out of the shadow.
So that's where the problem.
That's the problem I have with the day games at Bush.
But other places, no problems.
Well, I haven't played at all the other places. There are some places that don't have this problem due to their backdrop compared to Bush.
That's Cardinals outfielder Tommy Pham. You're listening to Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX.
Get ready for the Cards and Phillies tomorrow night. Amron Total Access 520. First pitch 7:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Hey, bada, 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 sawing.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
They got good hitters.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX. I'm Dan McLaughlin of Fox Sports Midwest. Remember, Inside Cardinals Nation is sponsored by White Castle. Hey, Cardinals Nation, meet Craver Nation at your nearest White Castle. We continue our conversation with Tommy Pham.
Is it fair to say that Tommy Pham plays the game with a chip on his shoulder? You think that's fair?
I mean, I was telling some guys on the team the other day, I mean, and I told Mo this, you know, money can't be your only reason to play this game. You have to play it more so than the money, whether it be the love or, you know, your family, whatever may drive you. And there's many things that drive me in this game, you know. So, I mean, a chip, I think that's just certain people's opinions regarding me. You know, like some people say I play the game angry. I can't play this game angry. I did that in the minors and it got me nowhere. You know, I had to learn to play this game mellow, you know. So I mean, there's a lot of things that drive me in this game.
I gotta hold you there because I'm watching you the other night and I don't know, something positive had happened and I saw you kind of talking to yourself and you look pissed off and I'm thinking, well, maybe he's angry. I don't know why, but that's what motivates him. So that's not necessarily the case.
No, I can't play. And I had the conversation with Colton, you know, because, you know, I saw him getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to get so frustrated in this game in the minors. I would break bats. I cracked a few helmets, and it got me, like I said, when it was time for my next at-bat, I wasn't mentally there. So I had to find ways to harness the anger. And, you know, I told him, like, look, what helped me was, you know, I started looking for solutions rather than the problem. You know, if I grounded out, I rolled over, I'd tell myself, all right, man, I'm on that. I swung at a strike. I just need to stay through the ball. Or if I struck out, why did I strike out? You know, I'm swinging at bad pitches, control the strike zone, you know, and it's starting to help him because it's hard to get mad, like I said, than when the team needs you, you're mentally – 110% there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, I've seen guys do it time and again.
I mean, there might be something in the game that pumps me up, you know, which, you know.
So maybe we're seeing that instead of you being mad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do fans tweet at you nonstop?
All the time.
Do you like it?
Sometimes I do, but, I mean, sometimes it's so off base that I'm just like, how could you possibly think that, you know? But, I mean, I'm not necessarily active. I should be. I need to be more active. But I just sometimes I don't know how their opinions are justified. You know, like some guy said, man, we need to trade me to get, you know, the top talent for me. And I'm like, if you really think about that trading me right now, like I make nothing. So, okay, you get some prospects for me, but will those prospects pan out to be me?
Right.
You know, and
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, the team has so many years of control of me right now. It's like, why would you want to trade someone who's so productive for cheap?
I think you're an inspiration for so many people, from your background to the fact you spent so many years in the minor leagues to your eye condition. You feel like you're an inspiration for many?
I mean,
because I love telling your story. I think that's one of the best parts of my job.
Yeah, I haven't met too many people whose life has just always gone so perfect. You know, I've been handed a lot of different curveballs, sort of say, and I've had to adjust.
Sure.
You know, I feel like life is a game of survival. So, you know, if you figure out a way to survive, you're going to be all right.
The SI article hit. What'd you think of it? What kind of response have you gotten from it?
Man, a lot of responses. I didn't think I cussed that much, you know. I mean, my agent was there too, and you know,
is that right?
Yeah, he didn't think that as well. But I mean, I feel like he probably said that just to kind of spice up the story, you know, because when he came to me about the article, he wanted to talk about how me being an American player with sort of say a Dominican or Latin player's background came to be, you know, a superstar in the game. And I was like, sure, I'll share my story to, you know, help out a kid who might be in the shoes I was once in. So, you know, I don't know how the story changed from that, you know, but I mean, when it's all said and done, man, you know, people always want to kind of make their way. But and I have no regrets with what I said, because I believe everything I said was true regarding my situation. You know, I believe, I mean, if I didn't say anything that was factual, then there would be a problem. But I felt like everything I said was true. You know, at the big league level, I've always produced, regardless of how you look at it. You know, if you look at the numbers, my first year, 2015, I was a productive player. All the sabermetrics could back it up. 2016, the sabermetrics could back it up. So getting sent down to the minor leagues, I didn't feel like I was justified from what I did in AAA. You know, I hit 320, over 320 in AAA, you know, with the OPS, the defense, the base running. Then in 2015, I did the exact same thing. So back-to-back years, this is something. So that means when you do something back-to-back years, that consistency, it proves that you're this player. So to get sent down again for having a bad spring, I didn't think it was justified, because when I said, you know, if you look at guys in AAA who have my numbers and guys in the big leagues with my numbers, were they in AAA? No. You know, they're in the big leagues and they're starting. You know, so like I said, I didn't think me having a bad spring justified that, because if that's the case, you know, then everybody that has a bad spring should get sent down.
Right.
You know?
Makes sense, yeah.
Because, and in fact, I didn't even think I had the worst spring that year, so.
Oh, it was pretty good, actually. It wasn't bad.
You know?
It's a difference, too, of when you're, if you're established, you say you're working on things. If you're not established, they say, well, you're having a bad spring.
Right.
It's a big difference, right?
Yeah. And in spring is truthfully the best time, or if you can't even work on something in winter ball because it's so much about producing there that they will release you. So spring is the best time to work on something, you know, whether you know, you're doing it for defense, hitting, whatever the case may be. Spring is truly the best time to work on your game to get ready for the season. That way you know if the feel matches the results, then you take it on to the season.
Sure.
If not, then you go back to your plan B or C.
That's Cardinals outfielder Tommy Pham. You're listening to Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You are the best baseball town in America, and there is no doubt about it.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX. I'm Dan McLaughlin of Fox Sports Midwest. Remember, Inside Cardinals Nation is sponsored by White Castle. Hey, Cardinals Nation, meet Craver Nation at your nearest White Castle. We continue our conversation with Tommy Pham.
All-Star game of 2018. Is it something that you even think about? You're an All-Star right now, and you might be the MVP of the league.
Now the pitch, a swing and a line drive into center field. That's a base hit. Tommy Pham comes up throwing. Pena's trying to score. Here's the tag by Molina. He's out. Pham throws Pena out. As Eddie Cedar was waving Pena around, Tommy Pham had the ball in his glove when Pena rounded third. Thank you.
Infielders at double play depth. The pitch, Pham. Swing and a long fly ball into center field. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. Oh, yeah. He has done it again, his third of the year, and the Cardinals lead it 2-0. That's the way to start a series. Woo. Welcome back to the lineup, Tommy Pham.
Here's another pitch for Pham. Tommy on 2-0 with two on.
Swings. It hits it deep, deep into left. This is going to leave the park. Cardinals lead 3-0. Tommy Pham with his fifth of the year. Wow. Cardinals are really something with the long ball. And the conga train goes on in the Cardinal dugout.
Is it something you think about?
One of my goals when I wrote down on a piece of paper.
You mind sharing those?
I don't have the paper with me. It's actually in my home in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
But I did put down, you know, All-Star appearance. That would mean a lot to me because I was always labeled, you know, people always, from the day you're drafted, people always put their ceiling on you. And I always wanted to prove that my ceiling wasn't that, you know. So it means a lot to me as one of my personal goals. But, you know, the main thing in this game is you have to win. So, you know, we need to win. Winning helps all this.
How about 30-30?
Yeah, I'm working on that. You know, I've been caught stealing a little bit too much. Some of that's out of my control, you know, with the hit and runs. But I can only do what is asked for me, you know.
MVP.
That would be, now, hey, that, now we're talking.
Final question. Tommy Pham is, what, 30 years old?
I'm 30.
What would you write or tell a young Tommy Pham at the age of, let's say, 9 or 10? What would you write to him and tell him?
Believe in your dreams. Believe in yourself. You know, because when I was that age, I remember I had a third grade teacher because I wanted to be – I remember I liked Michael Jordan so much, and you know your teachers will always tell you, you know, like, hey, the odds of being a pro anything are this, you know, think of something else, man. And I always tell kids, and I tell them to this day, believe in yourself. If you want to do that, keep working, because it could happen. If you work hard, you educate yourself in that craft, it will happen.
Oh, by the way, one final note. You have a kids camp you're going to do too, right?
Yes.
You're proud of that, aren't you?
Oh, man, I love to help out kids. You know, this is something I've done a camp in Vegas numerous times. So, I mean, being able to share the information that I have, you know, is something that I pride myself, because, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted, you know, to go to these camps, but I couldn't. Just, you know, the cost of it, you know, my parents couldn't afford it. So I always remembered, like, man, if I could go and learn from this guy what he had, you know, if he could teach me this, you know, I always looked at it like that. So, you know, here it is. Here's an opportunity.
We'll get the word out. Thank you so much, Tommy.
You're welcome.
That's Tommy Pham, and what a story he has turned into. Through all the adversity, he's on his way to potentially becoming an all-star. Good for Tommy Pham. Many thanks to Tommy, KMOX executive producer Ben Boyd, for helping put together the show. I'm Dan McLaughlin of Fox Sports Midwest, and this has been Inside Cardinals Nation on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.